Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. We can't say that central Pennsylvania has come to a standstill because of today's snow and freezing rain, but there isn't much traffic on the roads. That's due to most schools being closed and employers and businesses delaying their start times. On today's program, we're going to do a round-robin look at the road conditions, weather, and other winter weather-related topics. Joining us today, or at least in the first portion of today's program, is Greg Penny. He is with PennDOT District 8, which includes most of our listening area here in South Central Pennsylvania. Greg, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Scott.
If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. All right, so I know I'm talking about multiple counties here, Greg, but overall, what are conditions like on the roadways out there?
Well, actually, the roads are clear, shoulder to shoulder. The concern that we have right now is the switchover that we've had from snow overnight to the sleet and freezing rain. So though the roads may be clear, there could be slick conditions that you have to be careful about. So we've reduced the speed limits on the major roads as of 6 p.m. last night, and they're reduced for a reason. So I think if people take it cautiously, it's decent travel.
And is it misleading that because a lot of people base what a road, how they drive in a road by the way it looks. A lot of times there's black ice. A lot of times you can't see a place where it's slippery. It just looks like it's wet. Is that kind of misleading sometimes?
Well, definitely in terms of, I think when people see that it looks clear, that they pick up their speeds, and there's the danger of spinning out or losing control on any slick sections of the roadway. When I came in this morning, I was expecting it to be wet. It actually wasn't, and I think it was part of the changeover, the sleet. But in some cases, we've allowed some snow to stay on the road just a little bit, mostly as a barrier between the freezing rain coming down and the pavement surface. So there's a little bit of that going on as well.
You mentioned that there are some speed limit restrictions. What are we talking about there?
Well, basically what we've done during winter conditions is reduce speed limits to 45 miles per hour on our interstates and on the major expressway. So in our area, that's basically interstates 81, 83, 283, and 78. But the expressways include Route 30, 22, basically high-speed roads just to get people to slow down.
What about commercial truck traffic? Understand there are some restrictions there as well.
We instituted a ban this morning, and in our area it's mostly for tractor trailers carrying empty loads or empty trailers. And for the double trailers, there's also restrictions on recreational vehicle trailers and motorcycles carrying motorcycles out there and the like. But the main concern for us are the tractors with the empty trailers and the doubles because they have trouble with traction. And then further north of our area, there is a full commercial truck ban.
That's relatively new here in Pennsylvania, isn't it, Greg?
We've done a few times, but I think the experience we had back in mid-November with the tractor trailers getting caught up like on Interstate 83 at Research Summit and those problems that we had, it's definitely come to the forefront, and we've been more deliberate in getting the word out ahead of time when we're going to do truck restrictions. I think the last time was a little more difficult because it turned out to be warmer down in our area, so we were dealing more with rain than with ice, which was the big concern a few weeks ago.
You know, you mentioned Research Summit, and we know there are several places that typically have problems, but especially when there's freezing rain and that, the roads are freezing. Research Summit on I-83 in York County is definitely one of them. A lot of people, because there's a hill there, and just the way the topography is, a lot of people have trouble there. What are some of the other trouble spots that people should be aware of? aware of if they're going to travel today?
Well, I know the traditional travel spotter problems for us, and it's not so much the major roads. It's like Goldmine Road in Lebanon County. It's Route 225 over Peters Mountain in Dauphin County, Timmins Mountain out in Franklin County. Those are the traditional areas that are always difficult for us because of the higher terrain and colder temperatures. But I think on the interstate, Greaser Summit probably sticks out the most. When you get down into southern York County, around Leader Heights, that area, the hills can be challenging as well.
Mm. And sometimes it's not just hills, but how a road curves or whatever. I want to ask you how PennDOT treats situations like this. I mean, you went from snow. Obviously, there were a lot of plows out last night taking care of the snow. But when you go from that snow to rain to sleet to freezing rain, how are the roads treated?
Well, basically, Scott, all the way is we're treating with salt, and we mix the salt with anti-skid material, which is really what people always would call cinders or just small stones, usually on our back roads. That helps conserve the salt and extend that a little bit. But basically, our chemical that we use is sodium chloride salt out in the roadways. That lowers the freezing temperature of water. We're dealing now with temperatures around 30, 31 degrees. So when you use salt, that's why the roads are wet, even though it's maybe 30, 31 degrees. The problem is when you have rain come through, the rain washes away the salt, dilutes it, when that happens and washes away the chemicals, you worry about the ice forming on the pavement surface, and that's one reason why we've left a little bit of snow on just as that barrier, what we call a bond barrier, so that freezing rain doesn't adhere as ice to the road surface.
Greg, and I don't know whether you could answer this question or not, but we have a call from Melody in Carlisle, who's a daycare director, says her question is, what are the best indicators for helping her make a decision on closing or delaying on days like this?
Oh, well, it's such a judgment decision. I'll tell you, when I came to work today, there wasn't anybody in the parking lot.
Yeah, PennDOT had a delay, right?
Well, one thing that's helped us today are the delays. Because of delays that people, like the schools and employers, have done, has allowed less traffic out there on the roadways for our trucks to get out there and do their business. It's difficult today because you're working on a forecast where they say it's going to warm up, but we don't think it's going to warm up as quickly as I think the forecasters have mentioned. And so most of this day we're going to be dealing with the freezing rain or the sleet. It's a judgment decision. I think you have to take in the forecast, a little bit of the experience, in terms of what do you think is best for the people that use your service.
Why do you say that you don't think that it's going to warm up like the forecasters say?
We get a number of different forecasts, and that's that was one of the issues that we had back in mid-November. Depending on the forecast, you had some who were saying at that time that it might be 1 to 2 inches, others who were talking about 3 to 4, one television station was saying up to 7, and that day we had 8. So there are, if you go with one forecaster, you have a certain sense of certainty, but once you listen to several, there are competing forecasts out there, and you have to use your judgment of what you think is the best one to follow.
And PennDOT, I assume, goes from experience of who has provided the best forecast or most accurate forecast?
Well, the department contracts out with AccuWeather, and then you have the National Weather Service. And then we also utilize a forecaster from Millersville University, Eric Horst, who's been very good for us, and it's more customized for us than our part of South Central PA.
Yeah, we've had Eric on the program several times, and I'll be talking with a forecaster from the National Weather Service here in a few minutes. You know, it's probably a good time, while I have you on the phone, Greg, to talk about this. What are the rules, what are the laws for when you can pass a plow, or can you pass a plow on the road?
I know what we try to encourage people to stay back and not pass. And Scott, I'm not quite sure what the law is on that. I know the concern is that the plows extend beyond the width of the truck, and many people don't realize that or have difficulty with the visibility, and there's a danger in trying to pass. The rules are to stay behind, try to keep six car lengths or so back from the truck to provide plenty of room. And one of the problems that people have is, in the past, we have side plows, there are wing plows, we call them, that extend beyond the width. That can also be a problem for drivers.
I have someone from State Police on next, and we can talk about that a little bit. Here, Erica.
Better with the loss. Yes.
Erica has a comment here that I'm sure you'll appreciate. She says, on icy days like today, I'm very appreciative of PennDOT. Extreme weather events are presenting significant and growing risk to the safety, reliability, effectiveness, and sustainability of our transportation infrastructure and operations across Pennsylvania. So a compliment there, Greg.
We take them. Thank you.
So anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I appreciate it. I think people staying off the roadways, allowing our trucks to operate out there safely, it makes a difference on a day like today. And that the speed limits are out there for a reason. And even though the roads are clear, just driving cautiously is the way to go.
All right. Greg Penny, District 8, PennDOT, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Scott.
All right. And we're going to be talking with the state police in just a moment, but I'm sure one of the things that you're interested in is the weather forecast. Hasn't changed a whole lot right now. Winter storm warning in effect until 4 for Adams, Lancaster, and York counties, 6 p.m. for much of the region, until 9 for Columbia, Northumberland, Schuylkill, Snyder, and Union counties, until midnight for Berks County. Freezing rain or sleet this morning, then freezing rain and rain in the afternoon. It says total sleet accumulations of 4 to 6 inches. I'm a little confused by that. Ice accumulation of up to a tenth of an inch, the high 36. Tonight, rain and freezing rain in the evening, then a chance of snow showers after midnight, ice accumulation around a trace, the low 30. Tomorrow, becoming partly sunny, a high of 36. So let's go now to the Pennsylvania State Police. Trooper Brent Miller is Director of Communications Office with the Pennsylvania State Police. Trooper Miller, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let me start with that question. You probably heard me ask Greg Penny from PennDOT about when or if it is permissible to pass a snowplow or a truck that is putting down anti-skid salt materials.
What we advise motorists out there throughout the state is there's no specific law. However, use caution and give plenty of room. Whenever you're going to pass a PennDOT truck, make sure there's plenty of room to do so safely. And more importantly, just give them room. Don't tailgate the trucks. Give them plenty of room to do their job.
So on days like today, what are the biggest concerns for the Pennsylvania State Police?
The biggest concerns today is we're monitoring road conditions throughout the state. And what we're seeing are a lot of wet with freezing conditions around the Harrisburg, Allentown, Philadelphia area, and then up through Erie as well. Then, of course, the snow and slush covered really runs through a State College and up through the Williamsport area. And it looks like normal conditions for Pittsburgh and the Scranton area. So we have an entire mixed bag throughout the state. So we're monitoring road conditions and, of course, traffic volume on all the major interstates.
So as Greg mentioned, there is, and Governor Wolf instituted this, a 45-mile-per-hour speed limit on many of the major highways around the state. Does that also mean that there are more troopers around the state monitoring those speed limits?
Yes, they are regarding the conditions that are present. Obviously, conditions, if they will be on the highways monitoring the speeds, but it's for their safety as well. We always abide by if the conditions are really slick and it's not prudent to make a traffic stop, and that will not occur while the interstates are slush and snow covered. However, they will be out there monitoring and responding to crashes.
Mm. Are you seeing a lot of crashes today?
Right now, we aren't seeing a high increase. I haven't gotten the exact numbers yet at this time. It's a little early yet, but we are monitoring all the road conditions throughout the state.
As far as you know, are there any major areas around the state that have had a crash or are having delays or where motorists are having problems?
At this point, we aren't seeing a lot of delays or problems. The only road conditions that have snow or slush cover still showing up are through north central and to the Williamsport region through State College and down through Hollidaysburg. The rest are just wet with freezing conditions. But more importantly, we want to remind motorists with the changing conditions today, the changing temperatures throughout the state, to slow down, use caution, remember to turn on your headlights when you're operating your wipers, make sure your defrosters are working correctly, and more importantly, before you start that journey today, make sure to clear off all the ice and snow off of all the windows on your vehicle, and make sure to clean off the top as well.
Okay, speaking of that, is there a law for actually monitoring snow on the roof of vehicles? Because I've seen many, and I'm sure everyone has, where the snow is blowing off the roof and it's blowing right into your windshield.
The law states that if there's snow or ice on a vehicle and it flies off of a vehicle and causes a crash that causes serious bodily injury or death, you can be cited for it. So that's the conditions with that law. It doesn't state you have to remove the snow on your roof. However, if you don't and it causes a crash that causes somebody to either be seriously injured or even death, then you are liable for it.
Well, it only makes sense, too. I mean, you wouldn't want that happening to your windshield or happening to your car. I'm glad you mentioned headlights, because that is one of the things that, just, I don't know, just a personal thing, a pet peeve, drives me crazy that, you know, people that don't have their headlights on in when, you know, it is snowing or there's rain, freezing rain, it's hard to see some of these vehicles. So, you know, I know many of them have running lights all the time, but there are many others that don't. So, yeah, it's a good idea. And the rules of the road are much more noticeable, I think, in these kind of conditions, like using turn signals and slowing down. And, you know, Trooper, we've always heard other people say, I'm sure you have many times, that, oh, I'm not worried about myself. I'm concerned about how the other drivers are driving, right?
Yes, we always hear that, but we want people to just take the initiative upon themselves. Make sure to always turn on your headlights once your windshield wipers are on. And more importantly, in days like this, and if we start to get blowing conditions, you get those whiteout conditions. And it's very important for to be able to see them by other drivers.
Trooper Brent Miller is the Director of the Communications Office for the Pennsylvania State Police. Trooper, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Make sure to buckle up, everybody.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. And I tell you what, it is a treat that we have Fred Vigent, our director of programming, with us here.
What a treat.
It is a treat. And Fred's not here to talk about the road conditions or the weather or anything else, although, I don't know, he has lived in Connecticut for a long time.
And upstate New York as well.
And upstate New York, so this is probably nothing, Fred, for you.
But, in Oswego, they measure snow by the feet.
Okay, so. All right, see? See, so we should feel fortunate here in Pennsylvania today. But no, Fred has a very important job as part of our Smart Talk conversation today. And that is Valentine's Day is only 2 days away, Fred. Mm-hmm. And we are in the midst of our Roses campaign, one of the most popular campaigns of the year.
That's right. We come to you a few times a year to ask you to consider making a contribution for all the programs you rely on. Morning Edition, Smart Talk, you're listening to right now, 1A, Here and Now. All things considered, perhaps some programs on the weekend like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me or Ask Me Another or Live From Here. All the programs that are just part of your regular listening routine. And during these different campaigns, as I said, we ask you to consider making a contribution, how important these programs are. This particular campaign is a little bit different because the emphasis is on roses. And as Scott mentioned, Valentine's Day falls on a Thursday this year, coming up just in 2 days. And you have an opportunity to not only support WITF, but also send roses to someone significant in your life. You can do that at WITF.org/roses or 1-800-233-9483. Again, that's 1-800-233-9483 for a contribution of $100. You can send a half dozen red or rainbow roses. For a contribution of $125, you can send a dozen red or rainbow roses. For a contribution of $250, it's 2 dozen red roses in a vase. That's for local delivery only, the 2 dozen roses. But for $10, and Scott is holding the teddy bear as we speak, Barnaby, the teddy bear is available for an additional $10 contribution. So again, a contribution of $125, you can send a dozen red or rainbow roses, half dozen for a contribution of $100. You can do that at WITF.org/roses, 1-800-233-9483. Scott, we've had a very busy morning. We've heard from over 50 people so far this morning. We're closing in on about 800 gifts as part of this campaign. We've heard from Lewisburg recently, Landisville, New Cumberland, Camp Hill, several contributions from Lancaster and Annville, East Berlin, Harrisburg, Biglerville, and York. Very busy. We'd like to recognize you during Smart Talk with your contribution at WITF.org/roses or 1-800-233-9483.
You know, I'm always fascinated, Fred, when we list the different places throughout our region that where roses are being sent to and from.
Yeah.
How many states right now?
We're up to 42 states this morning. Florida, obviously several here in Pennsylvania, Washington, and Maine. Maine was one of those holdout states. We had not had a dozen roses going to Tennessee, New York, and it looks like California as well. But yeah, Washington, that stands out just because, you know, we were speaking about the lousy road conditions here.
Yeah.
Washington, they've been, Seattle specifically, has been getting several inches of snow. And I say inches, but Seattle,
they're not used to that.
They're not used to getting snow, or that much snow. 8 inches, I believe, in one storm, and I think it was snowing again. But even in the Rocky Mountains, they were getting several feet of snow, which should be they're more used to, but it was a significant amount of snow all coming down at once.
Just another reason, if you know someone in those areas.
That's right. Warm their hearts.
That's right.
Send them a dozen roses.
They've probably been shoveling, snow blowing, all that, if you know someone. You know, this is another thing that we like to point out, is that Valentine's Day, roses, there are many people think, oh, it must go to a loved one, must go to my husband, my wife, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my significant other. But no, it doesn't have to be that way. It could go to parents, grandparents, a friend,
caregiver,
someone from your past. Absolutely, caregivers should be remembered.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and so consider that. Maybe that's a good application for using a half dozen or dozen red or rainbow roses. You can make that contribution at 1-800-233-9483 or WITF.org/roses.
Fred, we'll talk to you again in a few minutes.
All right.
Let's continue our conversation now about the winter weather conditions throughout the state and actually throughout the country, as we were just talking about. I think I saw that there's like 11 million people being impacted by winter weather this morning, not just here in Pennsylvania in the Mid-Atlantic region, but as Fred mentioned, in the Northwest, Rocky Mountains, a lot of areas. Joining us on the phone right now is Matt Steinbugel. He's a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in State College. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. All right. So, you know, I guess we can give a regional forecast or and maybe even a state one. What can we expect the rest of the day?
Well, sure. In the mid-state, the central portions of Pennsylvania, wintry mess still ongoing today. A mixture of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Transitioning to mainly an icy mix as we get through the day today. In the southwestern part of the Commonwealth and also in the far southeastern parts of the Commonwealth, we will see a gradual change over to mainly rain as the temperatures just creep above freezing into the mid-30s. But a large area of Pennsylvania is going to be impacted by winter weather as we go through the day today.
You know, it seems like we are right on a line, and I say we, certain, not the entire region or the entire state, but even depending where you are, depending on what the temperature is, if you are getting rain or freezing rain. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right. Like I was saying, the different parts of the state seeing different different types of precipitation this morning. The warmer air has made it into southwestern PA and will eventually make it into southeastern PA as we get a little bit later in the afternoon. Temperatures warm enough there for mainly rain, but as you go further north into the interior mountains, the elevation has a huge role in determining precipitation types. So as you go further north and east into interior parts of Pennsylvania, the central mountains into the Poconos, that's where we're still seeing the snow and freezing rain and sleet is going to be continuing through the day today.
And we mentioned that because we know that there are a lot of people listening who may be in the car now traveling or planning to travel later today. All right, so freezing rain. Always been curious about what causes freezing rain. Freezing rain actually doesn't start as freezing rain in the atmosphere, does it? What is freezing rain? What constitutes freezing rain?
Freezing rain is essentially rain that freezes on contact with the surface. So you have, if you think of the atmosphere, you have the raindrop coming all the way down through the atmosphere, and then it just encounters a very shallow layer of sub-freezing air very close to the surface that causes it to freeze as it falls onto trees, power lines, roads, any of the colder surfaces. That's unlike sleet and snow. Sleet, you need a slightly larger area of refreezing, but you do get that as the raindrop falls, you get that melting and then refreezing. So you need a slightly thicker layer for sleet, and then of course, as if the temperature is below freezing through the entire atmosphere, that's when you see all snow. And on the flip side, if it's above freezing through the entire layer, then you get rain. So, yeah, sometimes it's just a very very thin or narrow wedge of colder or warmer air that can make the difference. And that's why these events can be so complex and then changing over just the course of maybe 50 to 100 miles or even shorter distances or slight changes in elevation. There's a lot of factors that go into these storms.
I've heard a lot of forecasts saying that here in south central Pennsylvania that we could get 1/10 of an inch of a coating of freezing rain. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it is if it's a road that hasn't been treated. Give me a sense of what is a lot, what is, how this is measured as far as freezing rain and what kind of an impact it can have.
Sure thing. So when you talk about roads, all you need is just a thin glaze of ice, and then you can start, seeing a lot of problems on roads with accidents and slippery travel. But when you get greater accumulations, start getting up, above a tenth and toward a quarter inch, that's when you start getting that accretion on power lines and trees, becomes more disruptive. And then once you get amounts above, say, a half inch to an inch, that's when it can become damaging, where you start to see impacts on infrastructure, the lines, power outages become more widespread as you get, above a half inch of ice accumulation.
We have a forecast, and it is from the National Weather Service, that said total sleet accumulation of 4 to 6 inches. That sounds like an awful lot of sleet.
Yeah, there's probably some snow mixed in with that accumulation. That's probably how it came out on the worded forecast. But the snow is gonna mix with the sleet accumulation. So a lot of places with the snow and sleet accumulations are kind of be combined, and then you have the ice accumulation from freezing rain.
Okay, so the system that is influencing our weather today, tell us about that. What's going on?
Sure. Sure. It's an area of low pressure that's moving through the Appalachians. We're going to see the freezing precipitation, the icy mix continue, like I said, through the day today. That'll be ending from west to east across the Commonwealth as we get into tonight. And then all precipitation will be over by early tomorrow morning. On the backside of the storm, unlike the last couple of storms where it's got brutally cold, we won't see that very sharp drop in temperatures. Temperatures are going to stay in the 20s and 30s tomorrow, but we will see an increase in winds with gusts over 30 to 40 miles per hour in a lot of places tomorrow. So not a big cool down behind this storm, but the winds will be felt.
So, yeah, I'm glad to hear that the big cool down is not going to happen. But yeah, that wind has been brutal. It's at times this winter, even just last week. We had an email here from Ann in Juniata County who asked, "Seems like there was very little sun this past year. Crops in my county were affected. Two organic farms have quit. What's the long term forecast for climate in Pennsylvania? Any sunshine?"
I'm sure there'll be some sunny days coming up. In reference to last year, though, I don't know how many folks may be interested in this, but total precipitation for the state was the wettest on record. So 2018 was the wettest year on record for Pennsylvania in terms of rainfall. Many local stations, observing stations, observed similar records. So it was pretty unprecedented. To say the least, as far as rainfall goes last year. Upcoming year this year, very hard to say. The weather, that's the more day-to-day, month-to-month, that differs from the climate signal. So we'll have to wait and see what this year holds. But it's been a fairly soggy start to this year, so we'll have to see if that continues or if we could see a much-needed drier spell as we get into the springtime.
Matt, how would you – I mean, every season is unique. Every winter is unique. But when you look at this winter for our region, how would you describe it?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster is how I would describe it. We had the early season snowfall back in mid-November. And then we basically flipped the switch from winter, if you will, to kind of mild temperatures, almost spring-like at times, through Christmas and into January. And then we had the big cold-down Arctic blast at the end of January. And then we had a February thaw to start off, and now we're kind of getting more, more or less typical, wintry weather here through the middle part of the month. No big signals either way for warm or cold through the end of this month. So I think we'll probably plan out pretty close to average for the rest of February. But up until now, it's certainly been, like I said, a bit of a roller coaster with some big temperature swings, early season snow followed by some milder temperatures, and then a big cool down like we had at the end of January. So it's been pretty wild.
You know, it's I say this in the most positive way, that we have a lot of people. I mean, I've met a lot of people that are very, very interested in the weather and will sit and are curious about, what's happening 2 weeks from now. From your perspective as a scientist, as a meteorologist, where do you look? I mean, I know it's hard to tell what's going to happen 2 days from now, let alone 2 weeks from now. But for Pennsylvania, where do you look to see what kind of weather patterns are coming?
As we got into that range, we rely pretty heavily on computer model forecasts that can more or less give us the trend, I think is what we try to shoot for when we start talking about 2-3 week time frames. We certainly can't get into any details, as far as, how much snow may fall on a certain day or how much rain we may get. But I think at that range, we're looking for signals in the trend. So if there's anything that would, let's say, tilt the odds in favor of a colder pattern or a warmer pattern, it's those kind of things or those kind of signals that we look for, and then we can put into, some sort of a forecast, a probabilistic forecast that may, like I said, tilt the odds or weigh things more in favor of, warmer versus colder or maybe wetter versus drier patterns and that type of setup as we go out, 2-3 weeks at a time.
But there seems to be, and just as an observer, only several ways, places that it comes from. I say places, meaning regions. I think most of the time, many of us think that weather patterns are going or following a jet stream and are going west to east. So what we see on the West Coast is maybe what we'll see here in Pennsylvania 3 or 4 days down the line. Then again, there's moisture that comes from the Gulf of Mexico that has an influence, sometimes results in a nor'easter, as we know them in the wintertime. Noticed a lot of times that there is moisture coming in off the ocean, that has the Atlantic Ocean, that has an impact on how much moisture that we do get or precipitation. Are those pretty much, okay, you're following computer models, but is that pretty much where you're looking?
Sometimes, yes. So, you know, there could be situations where we have, you know, storms that, you know, impact the West Coast that, you know, that track east and, you know, and spread, you know, winter weather impacts and different types of precipitation across the central part of the country and then eventually make it to us. Sometimes those storms, you know, will stay to, you know, to the west of Pennsylvania and really not impact us. You know, a llot of times when say the western part of the United States is experiencing cold or stormy weather, sometimes that can mean the eastern part of the United States is actually in a milder pattern or you're staying dry. So just because there's a big storm out west doesn't necessarily mean that is what's coming our way in, you know, the next couple of days. But in general terms, you know, the weather, you know, has a tendency or you know, in many cases, we'll move from west to east. So yeah, we are looking upstream at times. By upstream, I mean, you know, to the west to see what's going on. And like you said, sometimes down to the south, storms may, you know, come up from the Gulf of Mexico or from the southern part of the United States. So yeah, it really depends on what the steering flow is, what the pattern is, and how it's going to evolve, you know, over the course of the next several days, but certainly we are looking, you know, especially on the periphery of Pennsylvania. You know, our area is focused on central Pennsylvania. So, you know, as storms get closer, as precipitation draws near, you know, we're looking in places like the Ohio Valley or the Mid South or even the Great Lakes to see what may be going on there. And oftentimes that does have, you know, a correlation or, you know, at least gives us a good sense of what to expect in our area by, you know, by looking, you know, upstream at what may be going on.
We have an email here from Jerry, a listener, says, with the weather patterns, is this what we will see in the next coming years? No distinct seasons, but more of a blur of seasons. And she's probably referring to changes that we'll see from climate change. Is that what we're seeing? I mean, because a blur of seasons is probably a good way to describe what we've seen the last few years.
Yeah, I can certainly and see what they're saying. It has seemed like we haven't you know, experiencing the distinct four seasons where we get a mixture of seasons or we get sometimes very out of season weather in what you might expect for a particular season. There is ongoing you know, climate research that you know, that's sort of suggesting that you know, that may be the case, that you know, we may have you know, maybe, you know, periods of, you know, overall winter, for example, you know, maybe warmer than average, but there may be, you know, sharper cold snaps contained within the winter months. So it's really hard to say, you know, but I can see what the, you know, what that viewer listener is saying, how a lot of, at least recently anyway, that, you know, the seasons are really kind of crossing over their traditional boundaries, if you will, and we're getting, you know, out of season, you know, warmer temperatures in the winter or, you know, colder temperatures in the summer or very wet, you know, when you might expect it to be dry and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's something that we'll have to see how things pan out. But it's very interesting, to say the least.
Matt Steinbugel is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service and State College. Matt, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a good one.
Just wanted to mention this. This just came in. The Capitol Complex and Harrisburg area offices are now closed. The Capitol Complex and Harrisburg area state offices are now closed. Joining us on the phone now is Carl DeFebo, who is the director of marketing for the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Carl, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Scott. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think you're safe and warm in the office here right down the road, right?
Exactly, right here by the Harrisburg East Interchange. Safe and warm for now. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Things are going pretty well this morning so far.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, we're talking about the length of the state. How does the turnpike look overall?
Well, you know, right now we do have a couple restrictions that are in place. Overall, I will say that we've got maybe three or four incidents working. Mostly that we've got a couple tractor-trailer incidents in the Breezewood-Fort Littleton area right now. We do have a 45-mile-hour speed restriction. This storm seems to be right now hitting kind of the kind of area from New Stanton to New Jersey. So we've got 45 miles an hour from New Stanton, which is exit 75 out by Pittsburgh, all the way to the Jersey line and on our entire northeastern extension. You know, it's been this freezing rain and snow mix, and we're looking forward to the temps going above freezing around 2 o'clock today, so hopefully we'll be able to revisit these restrictions.
When you say going above freezing at 2 o'clock, is that from a meteorologist? Is that from a weather forecast?
Yeah, that's exactly what they've been calling for, is for temperatures to rise throughout the afternoon, and for this freezing rain to turn into rain.
When you say from New Stanton to the Jersey line and the entire Northeast Extension, I have to say I was a little bit surprised. I mean, that's a lot of roadway. That's almost, only 75 miles of road not under restriction.
Yeah, it's more than more than three quarters of our system right now is under a speed restriction, and I will say it looks like, again, I'm not too sure what the cause of these accidents were, but these accidents that I mentioned earlier in Breezewood, Fort Littleton area, they're tractor trailers, and I know one is jackknifed and blocking all lanes. This is one of the reasons why we have restrictions on commercial vehicles. In that area of the Turnpike, Scott, we actually have a commercial vehicle restriction of empty straight trucks and empty trailers and double trailers. So as a matter of fact, that's a pretty detailed ban, if you will, Scott, is that it's not only empty straight trucks and trailers, it's and doubles, it also is any trailer being pulled by a passenger vehicle, being pulled by an SUV, any motorcycle trailers, anything like that. So all trailers right now are banned on that same stretch, the I-70 from New Stanton to the state line.
I asked Greg Penny of PennDOT a few minutes ago about problem areas throughout our region. What about the Turnpike? Are there certain places on the Turnpike that when the weather gets like it is today, that there's more than likely a problem there in those places than others?
Well, typically, they're absolutely. I mean, the areas that are kind of renowned for weather would be, the from the Laurel Highlands to the Alleghenies. That area between like Donegal and through all of our tunnels. If on the Turnpike, you want to think of, the part here starting in South Central PA, in Western Cumberland County, all the way through the Donegal New Stanton area. That's really the mountainous area of Pennsylvania. Somerset is famous for that, and that certainly, because of the elevation in that area, Scott, is certainly can be problematic when it's and it gets lower temperature and more precipitation. And then the northeastern part of the state, right now on the northern part of the Northeast Extension, we do have a full commercial truck ban in effect. So again, because of the mountains, the elevation, the Poconos, and north of Poconos and Scranton, also that area tends to be problematic when it comes to weather cycles.
Well, I have experienced the Laurel Highlands personally. I mean, many people who live out there that I've talked to say the weather here is unpredictable. I've driven through the Laurel Highlands on the Turnpike in February or January where it was 55 degrees, and then on a dime, there was snow that was almost a whiteout condition, and
yes.
Laurel Highlands are famous for that.
Absolutely. And I've experienced that myself. I mean, there's a driving out the turnpike to Pittsburgh, and, you know, it's November or December, and the most of the turnpike is clear and there's no precipitation, and all of a sudden you can encounter like maybe a quarter mile area where there's a squall taking place. There's this kind of micro weather pattern that happens, and they are common out in that area. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just an area because of its elevation, the mountains, and the lower temperatures that's renowned for that. And, you know, our maintenance, we have 25 maintenance facilities all across the turnpike, and, you know, we do a lot of preparation for storms like these, and, you know, certainly the folks there, they stockpile more salt, they have more equipment at their disposal, you know, they know that area very well.
So, Carl, if you could leave a bit of advice with listeners about the turnpike, what would it be?
Well, you know, one of the most common things that we see during snow events and even rain and ice is people continue to tailgate and drive the speed limit. The speed limit's nothing you should be following on a day like this. As a motorist, our responsibility is to drive, according to the conditions that we see. That's our job. Even though the speed limit sign says 70 miles an hour, you really shouldn't be doing that on a day like today on just about every interstate in the Commonwealth. And so that's really the advice. Don't tailgate. And drive well below the speed limit.
Carl DeFebo with the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Carl, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Scott.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. I feel like I should have that music continue under Fred Vigent, who is joining us now to talk about the Roses campaign, Valentine's Day, love and relationships and
sleet and freezing rain.
Yeah, staying warm. So, Fred, what's up?
Well, we are closing in on 800 gifts so far for this campaign, which is fantastic, and we'd like to include you in on that campaign with your contribution now at WITF.org/roses or 1-800-233-9483. We are in the middle of our Roses campaign. We come to you a few times a year with our fundraising campaign to help pay for all the programs that you enjoy, 1A Morning Edition, of course, Smart Talk. Now, Smart Talk is a different program. It's not one we acquire. It's one that's produced right here. Scott is sitting right next to me. And we also have a whole team of people that are involved in making sure this program ticks perfectly every single day. And so that all comes at a cost, whether it's just the equipment and the upkeep, the phone lines, so that you can call in and participate in everything. And so with this particular campaign, we can thank you with roses, a dozen roses for a contribution of $125, or half dozen red or rainbow roses for a contribution of $100. And we can send them at this point, anywhere in the country, thanks to the efforts from Royers that helps send the roses out throughout the country. So you can make that support of Smart Talk at 1-800-233-9483 or WITF.org. And Scott, we got an email in this hour from Virginia. She says, this has nothing to do with weather, but with the Roses campaign. If you're looking for a story about sending roses to a friend, several years ago, I received a call from a good friend insisting that I sent him a Valentine's Day card. No matter how much I denied sending the card, he continued to insist that I sent it. After hanging up, I thought, though, if I was going to be accused of something, I might as well be guilty. So she sent roses, WITF roses, naturally. From that bloomed a romance, and they got married. After a few years, a friend admitted sending the card as a prank. Since then, my husband passed, but I still send Susie roses every year for sending that card.
Now, that is a story. Just think about that.
If that doesn't warm your heart.
Exactly. The card that was sent as a prank, but then WITF, roses from WITF that bloomed into a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Virginia, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was really appreciative. Great that the roses were able to create that connection. And you can do that at WITF.org/roses.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, you know that the medical malpractice, that there was a law made a few years ago that would restrict the locations from which suits could be filed. That may be changed, or at least it's being looked at. That's what we're discussing on tomorrow's program.